I can say that it's only your bodies that are here. Your souls are not here. I don't know. It looks like everyone is agreeing with the president that anything has increases majority now. That's fine. If we are agreeing with that. there's no marriage or something. The marriage is clearly, they don't seem to work, you know. Well, honored members, let's welcome our visitors from the National Youth Development Agency. I hope that you're welcome. I hope you had a good break, and you're ready now to really do our best in 2014. Thank you very much for coming. I see it's a delegation of men this time. But it's fine. The honorable members, you know, we NYDA, we are both a standing committee and a portfolio committee. Portfolio committee for the Department of Public Performance and Evaluation, where NYDA resides. And therefore, NYDA and DPME have a duty to present their third quarter reports to us. So NYDA is here to do that this morning. This might be our last meeting, Executive Chair, with you guys, but I think that we have had a short but wonderful relationship. Before we'll come to that later. NYDA, we think that it has made progress moving from 10 key performance areas to 5 focused ones. We hope that it is making progress. That's why we're here to evaluate the kind of progress that you're making. But there are still challenges of spreading NYDA to each and every corner of the country, so that the young people in the rest of the country can benefit to the work that you are doing. Well, Executive Chairperson, maybe I should invite you to address us. Don't worry about our committee. It's a bit thin when we start, but members will join us. Honorable Mfulo is there at the back. Okay. Then you can address the committee.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to all members, to those who I think we've also seen for the first time for the year, compliments and best wishes from NYDA. Chair, just to perhaps start by introducing those present from the NYDA who are doing the presentation. Myself as the Chair, on my left, Mr. Katura Kumba, acting CEO, to his left, Mr. Clayton Peters, responsible for strategy. Behind them is our parliamentary liaison officer, who's based here in Cape Town, Mandil, and Sviso Nekimi, who joined from the DM's office. That is the delegation here today. And then thank you, the person, for the opportunity to present in front of the Standing Committee on Appropriations in terms of our third quarter performance expenditure report. Yeah, I thought that it would be prudent to maybe start by reading a letter of commendation that we received from a school in rural KZN. As a result of our efforts in the last few months, we've been working quite tirelessly on the ground in terms of our education and skills programs. We received a number of letters, but the one that was really heartwarming, which I've asked that has to be distributed to all members of the committee, is one from a school by the name of Sipho Kushile High School, in which, if I may be allowed, Chair, in terms of my introduction, just briefly read through the letters, that members really understand why we made the change and the fruits that are starting to be, that are coming to the fold as a result of that. Chair, that the letter reads, this is an open letter to NYDA. Zipho Zinhle Sekashilame came to our school in 2012 when both learners and educators were demotivated and having a very low self-esteem, defined by 29% pass rate obtained in matric 2011. She motivated us to go all out to produce improved results. Unfortunately, as a school, we registered a slight improvement of 6% to get 35% in 2012. In 2013, she came again with an improved counseling, motivation, and career orientation. As you know, Chair, this was the time when we intensified our education and skills interventions, which left learners with a lot to talk about. Further than that, sponsored a prize-giving day with highly rated their speakers, trophies, and medals. That contribution made our event one of its kind, and these activities contributed a lot in improving the pass rate of the school, and that of grade 12 in particular. The school moved from 35.29% in 2012 to 71.8% in 2013, almost double check its performance. In conclusion, the school would like to thank NYDA for changing the tone of the school. Also would like to invite all other schools who are underperformed because of different reasons to seek assistance from NYDA. Assistance is obtainable and it works. Thank you from Mr. JTM Guni, Principal of Sipho Kushile High School. This I thought I would read out. Because it's not one young person, but an entire school of young people who see the new NYDA and its work in improving their own lives. It's just one, but one success of it, Jefferson. I could name the second chance matriculants, the 3,168 of them who benefited from second chance opportunities, the new Solomon Mahlangu scholarship, and the 250 or so. But all of these figures change, including the more than 500,000 thus far, who have received clear guidance support, which will be touched upon by the acting CEO. All of which really speaks to the new strategy and the progress we are making. Just by way of introduction, clearly we as NYDA believe that we are well on our way to reaching our target of 80% performance, which would translate into meeting 22 out of the 28 key performance indicators that we have set in the 5 key performance areas of grade 2. Chair, also for the benefit of members, in March and April, we will be launching 2 of our new programs. Flagship programs. One being the First South African Youth Development Institute in partnership with most likely the University of Johannesburg, but we are still to confirm that. And the other being a new job preparedness and placement program for facilitation of job creation in the country. This will complement the other programs with respect to the Tufano Fund, which has been focusing on education-related support, the Solomon Mahlangu Scholarship, and of course, the new Youth Entrepreneurship Grant Program. Chair, in terms of progress made on financial performance, just to highlight as I hand over to the acting CEO and his team, we have significantly reduced the irregular expenditure, as the report will indicate, and have since paid sufficient attention to ensuring that the emphasis of matter from our previous financial statements are addressed. At this rate, Chair, we are looking at the possibility, and we are adopting a zero-tolerance approach to non-compliance, of actually having a clean audit for the NYDA in 2015. We think it's not just possible, it's probable. I think the last meeting I had with our executive team, it's really going to be a zero tolerance approach to non-compliance. But really the reduction in case that we are well on our way to achieving that. Of course, the objective will then be to sustain that in the next few years. Chairperson, part of it, I think, is really to say that we continue to clean up the NYTA, but in particular cleaning up systems and processes to ensure that we deliver efficient and effective services for young people. I fully agree with you, Chair. We are far from reaching the objective, but there's a lot more work to be done. But I think significant progress has been made thus far. And with that, those few words, Chair, let me hand over to the Acting CEO to go through the details of that progress. Mr. Ramon.
Maybe what we omitted to indicate is I think that when we invited you, there were certain specific requests that we made. One is the third quarter report performance, which hope the acting CEO will speak on, and we will congratulate him for being appointed acting CEO. But the other thing that I thought that you would touch on, that on, I think was that was based on the invitation, is the progress on the suspension of the former CEO, unless then that CEO would touch on that. I don't know if you can touch on that.
Sorry, Chair. This is a very old-fashioned committee room. I've got great eyes that I read newspapers without glasses, but yes, these slides I can't read. I'll need a magnifying glass to read them. So can I just ask in future that they maybe can get... We're going to see it on slide now, but if they can just increase the size of the font. Yeah, the product. But we can't read it.
Everyone. Zandi, as a manager.
Chair, for me?
Sure.
This presentation, I think that was, if I can, Chair, is much more clear and visible. I don't know if there are copies of this one which we have to. Sure, that's why we're organizing the kind of thing that I could just to report on the matters you raised, because I think it is quite a verbal report is what we had initially indicated we would give to the committee. Chair, we wanted to report to the committee exactly what we reported to the executives, that we've closed the matter on the acting CEO, Mr. Stephen Mbeni. We've reached an amicable and mutual agreement with him. And he, as of December, is no longer in the institution. In terms of all the other employees, Chair, we've also resolved the other matters. Unfortunately, it has resulted in the dismissal of the one other employee who was found guilty of the charges tabled against him. The employee was dismissed, duly so. And so, Chair, that has really cleared up all matters in terms of the structure of the organization and all the stability that is required for us to move forward. So, Chair, I just want to report that to this.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and good morning. Chair, in line with the structure or the specific items that the Standing Committee has requested us to present on this morning, we will deal with the performance for the third quarter of the National Youth Development Agency, as well as the related expenditure report relating to the performance for the same quarter. We will also give a brief overview of the progress made in addressing the issue raised by the Auditor General. And also, in line with the requests from the Standing Committee, we will deal with we'll give an update to the committee on the status of the loan book as it stands now and the interventions that we continue to implement to try and collect those loans. And we'll also accordingly as well give an overview in terms of the progress report on the establishment of local youth offices in various municipalities to make the NYDA and its products and services a lot more accessible to young people across the width and the breadth of the country. I will deal myself with in detail with the expenditure report, the progress report on the implementation of Auditor General findings, as well as the reports on the loan book. And then Mr. Peters here will deal with the details of the performance information, as well as the report on the progress report on the establishment of local youth offices. I'll just give a brief overview in terms of the performance that's one, and then hand over to Mr. Peters to take you through the details of the KPI that we will be reporting on. You will note, Chair, that with the guidance of this committee, as well as the new direction that the new board provided, we cut our key performance indicators to make them a lot more realistic and to give NYG a more focused approach to youth development. And we are for this year pursuing 28 KPIs. Out of those 28 KPIs, 10 of them are on par. We've adjusted them as planned up to the end of quarter 3. Three of 28 has already been achieved at year-end target. So this the annual target has been achieved as at the end of quarter 3. Whereas six of those we had planned that they will be achieved at year-end, and we are on course to achieve those. Whereas nine are slightly behind, but we are on course to achieve them. So I'll just send over to Mr. Peters to take you through the details, and then I'll take over again as soon as he's done to take you through the expenditure reports and the other issues that have been indicated. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, if we look at the first key performance area, which is economic participation, there are five key performance indicators in this area. The first one is the number of new youth-owned enterprises established through grant funding. We have an annual target of 500, and as at the end of the third quarter, our performance against that target was 393 new youth-owned enterprises established. The second indicator we had is the number of youth-owned enterprises supported through grant funding. We had a target of 37,975 young people. And at the end of quarter 3 performance, we were sitting with 23,434 youth-owned enterprises and entrepreneurs supported. The key performance indicator that relates to community development facilitation and support, we targeted 14 communities. Slide 5, Chair. Chair, we have targeted 14 communities, and we performed quite well against this KPI, and we were sitting with having reached 13 communities as at the end of quarter 3. Chair, in terms of the KPI for jobs created through grant funding and business development services, we targeted 2,500 jobs, and we created 2,300 jobs as of the end of the third quarter. In terms of jobs facilitated through placement opportunities, we had a target of 1,500, and we were doing well as at the end of the third quarter with 1,000 315 jobs facilitated. I'll share for your information of the committee, we provided some provincial breakdown of those numbers. The second area, Chair, that we'll move to is education and skill development. The chairperson of the NYDA referenced the good results that we had with the matric relay program, and we plan to start that program again, the next cycle. So we targeted 3,000 young people, and because this is a target that we plan to achieve in the fourth quarter, you'll see that there's a zero achievement rate, because we'll only start recruiting these young people in February and March this year. In terms of the number of youth supported through the scholarship program, the Solomon Maslangu's scholarship program, our target was 130 young people. You'll also see, Chair, that the performance is zero, because this was a KPI that we intended to achieve in the fourth quarter. So we will achieve that in January, February, March, where these applications are processed and then handed out. In fact, we have handed out many scholarships over the January period already. Chair, we're doing quite well in the KPI related to individual and group career guidance interventions. Our target is 700,000 young people in both individual and group interventions, and you'll see that as of the end of the third quarter, we're sitting with 547,385 young people reached across the country. We're also starting what we call the Start Here campaign, which will be launched in, will take place in February, and we expect to actually overachieve against this target. Chair, we are one of the flagship programs in our EPP is the Youth Build program, and we targeted 1,500 young people participating in this program, and as of the third quarter, we were sitting with 1,226 young people. Just 2 weeks ago, Chair, we graduated 100 young people in the Northern Cape. So, Chair, we just graduated 100 young people in the Northern Cape. Yes, Chief, sorry, Chair, NYDA is subject to crime all the time. But 100 young people have graduated from this program just 2 weeks ago in the Northern Cape, where they spent many months building 100 houses for the elderly. Chair, in terms of our job preparedness program, we set an ambitious target of 100,000 young people going through this program. We're behind on the target with 45,567 young people as of the third quarter. And there's also a breakdown of those selected key performance indicators. So in terms of health and well-being, we set an indicator with the number of young people accessing programs and interventions designed to improve health. The target we set was 5,000, and we actually overachieved this target. As of the third quarter, we were sitting with 5,969 young people having gone through these interventions. We also set a target of 4 campaigns and special projects implemented, and as of the third quarter, Chair, we had already implemented 3 campaigns and special projects, all in the area of health and well-being. So I'll move on to the next program area, which is policy and research, and an important area for the NYDA. Our first indicator in this program area was the number of youth development programs designed. We feel, Chair, that it's our responsibility as the NYDA to be developing and promoting innovative youth development programs. And we set a target of 5 new programs designed, and as at the end of the third quarter, we had already designed 4 of those. The second key performance area is the number of knowledge management and youth-related research produced, and we set a target of 80 knowledge management youth research pieces. As of the end of the third quarter, we are sitting with 14 of these knowledge management and research pieces being produced. Chair, the third indicator is a qualitative indicator, where we set ourselves the indicator of drafting a National Youth Employment Report 2050, and we're still in the process of doing that, Chair. As of the end of December, we had done our consultations with the Department of Economic Development, Presidency, National Youth Structures across the country, and we were in the process of actually drafting the strategy itself. So by the end of the fourth quarter, we will have that draft strategy ready. Here, the indicator for the number of evaluation reports of NYDA program and projects completed. We set a target of 100 evaluation reports, and as of the end of the third quarter, we are sitting with completing 6 evaluation reports. There are many of these reports in the pipeline that are going through the final stages of editing, and we expect to release them soon. Here, we had a target for a key performance indicator for the number of policies and legislative documents developed, and our target was 3 policies and legislative documents. We contributed to the draft NYDA Act with amendments. This has been finalized by the state law advisors. They're being reviewed by the ministerial task team, and will be considered further. Here we're working on the project plan for the review of the National Youth Policy 2015 to 2020. There's a technical project team and a technical reference team that have been put together. We will be holding provincial workshops in January, February across the country, getting young people input into the review of this National Youth Policy, and we expect the draft policy to be ready by the end of March. The chairperson of the NYDA alluded to the key performance indicator for establishing a youth development institute. We felt that this was an important priority for the NYDA to partner with the Higher Education Institute and produce credible, relevant youth development research for policymakers and programmers. And here we've made some good progress. Proposals have been gone out. We've met with various vice chancellors of universities, and it's in the final stages of decision making right now. And we will launch this at the end of March once it's gone through our necessary supply chain management policies. We have an indicator for the number of young people receiving information on youth development through NYDA access points. Okay, our target is 700,000 young people, and as at the end of quarter three, we're sitting with 612,073 young people, so we're making good progress against this target. We also have a target of 30 public and private entities lobbied to establish youth directorates, and as a result, Chair, we have exceeded this, and we're now sitting with 57 public and private entities that we've lobbied to establish youth directorates. Here we have an indicator that talks to partnerships established with government, private sector, and civil society. Here you'll remember that we've reported numerously to this committee that in order for us to reach the maximum number of young people, we can't do it alone. We need the partnerships with private sector, government, civil society. And so here we've set ourselves a target of 70 partnerships established. We, at the end of December, we have 12 partnerships established, and there are various other partnerships in the pipeline that we'll be able to report on in February and March. The number of dialogue sessions hosted with young people, we set ourselves a target of 106 dialogues, and we were sitting at the end of December with having conducted 78 dialogues with young people across the country. We have a target for the number of young women mobilized, number of young women and disabled youth mobilized to participate in youth development programs. We have a target of 1,500 young women and disabled youth, and here we had exceeded that target with 2,965 young women and disabled youth. Here we also set a target of value of fund raised, and our target was 80 million. We thought that this is an important indicator to mobilize and leverage resources for youth development, and we were seeing with a performance of 9.3 million raised as of the end of December. We are waiting for confirmation from other partnerships, and we expect this target to increase considerably in February and March. And finally, the last key performance area, Chair, is on governance, and the first indicator was an IT systems efficiency and effectiveness audit. This is all part of our task to establish a credible, efficient, effective NYDA. And our target was to develop a systems roadmap for the chair. We drafted the terms of reference to conduct the audit. It is going on at the moment, and we will we'll have the results in February so that we can make some critical decisions around this IT systems roadmap. Chair, the second KPI in this area of governance is the review of current processes, approval of new processes and implementation. We have a target of completing operations manuals to ensure alignment to products and services. We have a service provider that's working with our executive management team on this chair, and we will be able to report more significant performance at the end of the financial year. There's the third KPI in this area of governance is training and capacity building of staff. We set a target of 400 employees, and as at the end of December, quarter three, we had 181 employees trained, and we will meet this target. And then the last KPI, Chair, it relates to the number of information dissemination access points established. We set a target of 30 information dissemination access points, and as at the end of the third quarter, we had established 26 access points. So, Chair, I'll pause at that point and hand back over to the CFO to present the expenditure information.
Thank you, Chair. On the expenditure information, maybe just to start on the income side, just to indicate that as at the end of the third quarter, we had received 390 from the presidency of the 392 grant allocation for the NYDA for the 2013-2014 financial year. We have already submitted the request for the last tranche, which is just about 70 million, which the presidency is in the process of processing. And we are confident that we should be able to spend in relation to the key performance indicators that are still to be delivered on as presented by the report that Mr. Peters has just presented before the committee. The next slide just gives a brief detail on that which makes up the income side. I won't spend too much time on that, as well as the following one, which just give a graphical presentation of what kind of income contributes in terms of percentage terms to the total income of the organization that the organization has at its disposal to deliver on the mandate of the agency. Then on the slide that speaks to the expenditure reports, you will notice here and honorable members that our spending patterns are showing that we are a little bit behind in relation to what we would have targeted to spend at the end of the third quarter. On operating expenses, we have underspent about 11 million, or just about 12 million, which is 10% in terms of what we would have normally or what we would have projected to spend. This also speaks to some of the changes that would have happened at the beginning of the financial year, certain operational costs that we need to support the delivery of the strategy. Would have been delayed a bit as and when we're engaging on the new strategy. The implementation of the new strategy will also start a bit late, which is also reflected by the bottom part of the expenditure report. If you look at the project disbursement, where we're showing an underspend of about 23 million. Given that is to the performance report that has been presented earlier on, we show that most of these targets are going to be intensified towards the last quarter, which is because there are a number of programs that are really picking up or that started picking up at this during the first quarter, including grants, the grant funding program, the route to all the branches, all three branches only was started in November. So as we are in this first quarter, a lot of activities is now happening. There's a lot of projects that are happening now in relation to the education side, back to school campaign, and you know the metric, same chance metric, right, and other programs around that space, the Domo Scholarship Fund, even the Pusano Fund, that is assisting young people to get access to education. So as we would proceed in pursuing the upending KPIs towards the end of this financial quarter, also the pending patterns will be following in that direction. Then the next slide just deals with funded expenditures that would have incurred in relation to specific donor agreement that we would have had with the various entities and organizations that we have been working with, as well as a reflection of the loans that have been written off. These loans are not just indicate that they don't relate to the NYD loan book, the one that we are managing in-house. They relate to the loan book that we are in partnership with other entities, the one with the First National Bank, the Progress Fund, as well as the one with business partners. And then that's an indication of the impairment. This impairment relates to our own loan book and the finance charges. Then the next slide just gives a brief comparison of the graphical comparison of budget versus the expenditure in relation to operating expenses, and then there is a pie chart indication of that allocation spend. And then we also gave some, you know, line by line detail in terms of which line items are affecting overspending, which line items are affecting the other spending, whereas the overall picture is that of underspending, which I have explained in relation to the operational costs that are supporting the implementation of project costs, which have been the project costs that, you know, we pick up in relation to the intensified efforts to achieve the KPIs at the end of the year. Then the next slide then gives the budget versus actual comparison in terms of project-related expenses, and then the pie chart indication as such. Then there's the last few slides just gives an indication of the actual programs themselves, projects that we're implementing in various programs. You will see the first slide speaks to our projects that we're implementing within the National Youth Service Division, and it outlines them in detail. How much have we spent so far, and what was the budget, and what is the budget for the year, and just an indication of the balances in that regard. And then the next one is youth development, then the third one is Center for Youth Development Program, then economic development, which is basically business development services, rural development projects, and enterprise finance, which speaks to also the grant funding program that we have adopted, and then certain programs or projects that we are implementing from the executive director's office, this being the both the chairperson's office and the deputy chair's office, and then the policy and research, as well as communications, public relations, and the service delivery, being the second last one, and then a bit of work that has happened within the chief operating officer's office in relation to project-related expenses and other projects that we've implemented within the space of economic development, national research and skills development, and corporate partnership. And then we just once again give a detailed you know, line item indication of the items that would either influence underspending or underspending within the project budget spending for at the end of the third quarter. So that's in short, Chair and Honourable Members, is the expenditure report. I think the one thing that I can emphasize is that there is a correlation between the performance and the spending, and we're confident that both will be picking up in this last quarter, and we should be able to deliver on the mandate of the organization, the KPIs that we have set ourselves in line with the projections that have been made, as well as, you know, efficient use of those resources that have been given to us. I would then move over to deal at high level with the issues that the Auditor General would have raised. Issues relating to material misstatements, the agency has embarked on a process of doing a full asset verification process in all 14 branches to make sure that our asset treaties is up to date, and issues of weekly and monthly reconciliations have been now addressed. Those are happening timeously and they are reviewed by senior management. We have also adopted the recommendation of the Auditor General of producing monthly financial statement. That process is happening. It will continue to happen. We believe that it will provide us an opportunity to arrest any errors that might be in the financial statements in time, and also allow us to complete the compilation of financial statements in time before we submit to the Auditor General, which will also allow for enough time of proper reviews by senior management to ensure that by the time we submit to the annual report of the financial statements for the year for audit, those financial statements are a true reflection of the affairs of the organization. We have also, with the support of the audit committee, have gotten the assistance of internal audits, which is conducting a state of readiness audit on the basis of the financial statement that we're producing. So they are giving us advanced when necessary and indications of that which needs to be improved and corrected. So we are quite confident that we should be able to address the issues of the misstatement of the financial statement. On the side of expenditure management, on the regular expenditure, the mechanisms that are indicating that, as the chairperson has indicated, we have adopted a zero tolerance approach to issues of non-compliance that is leading to regular expenditure. We have also adopted the recommendations made by the Auditor General and this spending committee, as well as COPPA, of ensuring that credit managers, those decisions, I mean those divisions, are incurring irregular expenditure through non-compliance, are held to account. In this regard, on a month-to-month basis, the regular expenditure report is maintained and updated by the supply chain management unit, and that report is submitted to the office of the chief executive officer, and disciplinary actions and corrective actions are then to be implemented in relation to the evaluation of each case. This also applies with the deviations request. We are ensuring now that these deviations are thoroughly reviewed in terms of the requirements of the treasury regulations. One of the things that we are doing as well in order to try and make sure that we cover all bases in ensuring that we have identified all these irregular expenditures is that we are currently in a process of reviewing all our transactions that would have happened between April, which is the beginning of the financial year, until now, and just to make sure that all those transactions are checked for compliance, and then if those that are found to not have compliance are then moved to a regular expenditure. It's just to make sure that we do not find ourselves in a situation where the Auditor General pick up additional irregular expenditure which may lead to issues of incompleteness of our own disclosure. So those measures have been put in place to try and manage the regular expenditure within the organization. And of course the commitment is that as we enter the new financial year, as we hold ourselves accountable for non-compliance, we will move closer, if not achieve the zero irregular expenditure in the 2014-2015 financial year. Then in terms of the loan book collection, some of the issues I will deal with them in detail when I speak to the loan book itself, but just give an indication that the agency is in a process of developing or putting together an overall debt collection strategy. This strategy will look at various options. Amongst others, we are, as administration, we are preparing a report that will be submitting to the board for consideration. A possibility of considering the loan book as those who might be in the business of loan financing or financial services sector. Maybe just to give an indication that we are mindful of the fact that we are a developmental institution, and therefore just selling loan book to those who are pursuing commercial interests may push young people in that situation. So the intention is to do a bit of work on that loan book, clean it, and then remove those young people that we know they are not able, then they are not capable of paying off any of these debts, and remove them from the loan book that we may consider for selling off to commercial entities that might have an interest on the loan book. Also, the idea that informs this is also an approach or a strategic move or a strategic shift that we have taken as an organization, that is, we want to do grant funding aimed at the creation of entrepreneurship amongst young people, as opposed to a continuation of loan financing. So those are some of the things that we're looking at. But as we are in that chain discovering a better way to deal with the loan book, we continue implementing other measures like taking defaulters through to the legal process, entering into really structuring arrangements of agreements or loan agreements, as well as considering settlement offers that are coming through from the young people. Just to maybe give another overview, just to strengthen the measures that we have put in place to strengthen the supply chain unit. This week, we are embarking on a nationwide NYGA database update program where we are visiting all 9 provinces, working with municipalities, and engaging potential service providers through the local media to register in the NYGA database. What we'll be doing is to make sure that all those that we will assist to register in our database are fully compliant. Those that might need assistance to comply will be providing that assistance within the means that the agency can do so. One of the things that we hope to achieve on this is to be able to have a database that has a footprint across the country, which will enable us and allow us to be able to support local economies as and when we conduct projects and programs in various corners of the country. One of the things that we have also done is to update our supply chain policies, procedures, charters, and delegation of authorities to be in line with both the regulation, relevant regulations, as well as the best practices, which we think and believe that it will assist us in ensuring compliance within the organization. But also, there will be workshops where senior managers, administrators, and those who play some role in the supply chain process of the organization, whether it be serving in bid committees or whether it be transaction initiators and things like that, will be trained on these new policies to make sure that we are found to be compliant at all times. Whereas we have also allocated a specific responsibility to one of the staff members within supply chain to mainly focus on compliance issues of all transactions that the organization anchors. We are intending to provide this resource with an advanced training in supply chain management to make sure that we are able to catch in a compliance sooner and we are able to take corrective action sooner to ensure that we were found to be compliant with the rules and regulations that governs financial management in the country. And then in terms of the human resource areas, issues that have been identified by the Auditor General, there is a plan to address those. We are also looking at conducting a more detailed project within the HR division of the organization to make sure that we comprehensively address these issues, but interlinked as well to issues of performance management within the organization. So in short, Chair and Honourable Members, that's our intervention in relation to the issues raised by the Auditor General. I will then move to the loan book of the NIDA, and I will run through them as quickly as I possibly can. What we have done with the Standing Committee is to try and split the loan book between the loan book as inherited from the former Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the loan book funded by the operations of the National Development Agency post the establishment of the agency. We have also splitted the loan book in terms of the microfinance loans and the SME loans, because that was the modus operandi of the agency at the time when we were providing loans. We had micro loans which were limited to 100,000, and we had SME loans which were limited to an amount of 5 million rand. So just to give a brief indication on microfinance, the number of or the value of loans that were approved by the former Umsobomvu Youth Fund, as capital value was about 55 million, and the value of loans that were actually disbursed was 55 million. The value of collection that which we were able to collect from the Umsobomvu Youth Fund loan book, including interest, was about 35 million, and what is outstanding in that loan book, including interest, is about 30 million. In terms of the NYDA, since the NYDA was established in terms of the microfinance, it issued approved loans to the tune of about 37 million, and that 37 million was actually disbursed. And what we've been able to collect, including interest, is about 23 million, and what remains outstanding, including interest, is about 33 million. And then in terms of SME, Umsobomvu Youth Fund distributed or approved 193 million. That which was actually disbursed was about 179. That which was collected, including interest, about 162. And that which remains outstanding, including interest, about 123 million. And then the NYGA on SME, approved about, it is worth about 36 million, and then collected about 7 million, including interest. That which remains outstanding is about 24 million, which gives us a total loan of about 212 million before impairment and other things. And the next slide just gives an indication of, you know, the portfolio at risk, the, you know, classification of what is believed to be at risk, what are the circumstances in terms of those defaulters that are within the value of 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and more. Between microfinance, we're split between microfinance and SME, and we are also just indicating in terms of some of the activities in relation to implementation of collection strategies in that regard. If you you look at that slide, you will see that we have loans that have been handed over to the attorneys to the tune of about 10 million in relation to microfinance, whereas in relation to SME, we have handed over loans to the value of about 127 million. And then we provide the number in terms of the number of loans, 164 micro loans, and the 86 in terms of SME. These are those which are with the legal processes. And then we just continue to give that detail in terms of the state of affairs in terms of the loan book. And then the second last slide gives us a summary of the litigation report. Total loans handed over for collections, SME 91, 169 microfinance, those values are 6 million and 10 million. Where we have summons on microfinance, where we have section 129 letters is 12 on microfinance, where we have summons is 69 on microfinance, where we have received judgments, SME is about 31 million. Where we have received settlement offers from some of the beneficiaries and we have approved them or accepted them, it's about 586. We have proposed settlement offers that are to be considered, which are 11, which are to be considered by the NYD for acceptance, which comes to on the loans with a value of 18 million, which are to be considered and recommended to the relevant subcommittee of the board for consideration for approval. And then you know, the detail of the process, I mean, of the legal process continues. Just maybe to highlight where we were of the view that we have exhausted the legal process and there are no prospects of recovery within the SME itself. What we carry on with the rest of the others that we are pursuing to develop with the value of those loans being about 3.2 million. And then the other indications is what we are progressing. You will note that this is not a total loan book because we would have selected those that in terms of high values said, let's start with this and then continue to hand over the rest of the loan book to our attorneys for collection purposes. And as I said, this process will continue parallel to the process of an overall and more definitive process of identifying what then becomes the better solution. Is it to empower the collection process and continue to pursue the collection of the loan book for the rest of its lifespan, which is about 4 years now, or is it, you know, disposing it off and focus on the grant funding program and other programs that we have adopted as the agency moving forward. And then again, just for this up to date, is a issue that we've already spoken to. We are also trying very possibly to assist the holders with the market linkages where opportunities are identified by the NIDA that might assist these young people own businesses to improve their profitability and cash flow position for them to be able to repay the loans owed to the NYDA. So in short, an honorable member, I will leave it at that and then hand over to Mr. Peters to provide the committee with the progress in relation to the establishment of local youth offices across the country.
Just before we do that, I think that you made a small but important omission, which the AG had touched on, that is IT, what you call it, perhaps. Maybe just make a small comment about it, or, yeah, I think so.
Thank you, Chef. I think when Mr. Peters was presenting on the side of performance, he highlighted the issue of the audit review of our IT system and that we're in the process of you know, procuring a service. We wanted to do a detailed audit of our systems in relation to distance that we have in relation to the new strategies that we have adopted, are they still relevant? If they're not relevant, what needs to be done? Do we need to scrap them? Do we need to improve them and things like that, so that when we address this issue, we address it holistically? But maybe just indicate that one of the things that at least we have moved on is, you know, the IT governance aspects have been addressed. We have the charter that has been approved, and the board is taking the leadership in overseeing that aspect at this point. But as Mr. Peters indicated on the performance-related side, the intention is to conclude the IT audit and, you know, have at least a roadmap that tells us what needs to be done before the end of the financial year, which will be the first match.
Thank you. It's a very briefly presentation on what our progress, what progress has been made in terms of establishing local youth officers. Quickly to outline what we expect from a hosting partner to assist with local youth officers is largely to avail basic office facilities, provide furniture, provide computers, internet connectivity, and salaries of the existing municipality staff designated to the local youth officer. That is what we are expecting from municipalities. In terms of what support the MIDA provides, in terms of the support that we provide, we provide all content on information products, so supply brochures, pamphlets, marketing materials. We provide ongoing capacity building and support to the staff to deliver on those products and services. We provide training to community development workers, other relevant personnel for information dissemination, and this includes training to facilitate workshops that the NYDA has developed around job preparedness, life skills, etc. We assist with data collection from youth beneficiaries so that we can report accurately. We ensure that the monthly statistics are collated on time. We ensure connectivity to the NYDA portal and other business systems through the municipality's internet connectivity so that the portal can be used as a valuable resource for youth-related information, but also from report for reporting purposes. Here we have a help desk that is available at the NYDA office, head office, to avail resources to the municipality at any time. And we regularly visit these local youth offices to provide the support, and we have a visitation schedule, Chair. The progress that we've made in this financial year, Chair, I reported in the performance information report, our target for this financial year was to establish 30 of these local youth offices. We have an actual performance by January 2014 of 27 that have been established, and believe that we can achieve the other three by the end of March 2014. There's a breakdown of local youth officers for province totaling 194, and what we will do, Chair, is we will send a further breakdown of those provincial local youth, the local youth officers per province. We'll send that to the committee secretary for distribution to all members. Thank you, Chair.
I don't know, maybe I didn't hear what I wanted to hear, but I see the chaplain wants to help, you know, so that around these offices in municipalities, I don't know whether offices in municipalities or that just local MIDA offices, because what we, I wanted in my ears, but we get to hear was the relationship between yourself and the municipalities, you know. Are you, I don't know, this progress report, whether it's related to that or just your local local offices, Chairperson?
No, Chair, I was going to mention something else you may want to know, the 10 local youth offices in Kurulani that we'll be launching. Yeah. But let me hand over to Mr. Peters. I think he can provide and give you more information about that in particular.
Chair, maybe just some background before that. I mean, we have full service branches, of which there are 14 of them, and these branches are staffed by NYDA staff, and all the full suite of NYDA products and services can be accessible to these branches, of which there are 14 and we carry the full cost of these branches, Chair. And they roughly cost between 2 and 5 million to operate a branch over the year, all inclusive. Some branches are bigger than others, and it's also based on population sizes here. Then a little below that is local youth offices here, where we've established in terms of partnership with the municipality, and I've outlined what the roles and responsibilities are. In order for us to count a local youth office, we ensure that there's an agreement that is signed between the municipality and NYD based on these division of responsibilities. 194 of these agreements have been signed, Jay. Where we experience problems then is around implementation of these agreements. So in terms of the responsibilities, we've said let's avail basic office facilities from the municipality. The municipality can either hire or second existing staff to staff these local youth offices. Oftentimes the challenges that we face is the agreement has been signed, staff not available because the municipality has not designated staff or assigned staff. Or a related challenge that we find is that staff have been assigned to this local youth office, but as the work of the municipality grows, they are then redeployed somewhere else. And so therefore the functioning of that local youth office is jeopardized. So here we've tried to ensure that municipalities stick to the agreements. We've made sure that from our side, we are able to provide all the necessary capacity building supports, product information, brochures, etc. But the big challenge that we have is we've signed a lot of these agreements, but many of the municipalities have not honored some of the agreements.
Okay, I think yes, Taris, just to make a broad statement that the reality is that the signing of these MOAs suggests that there is willingness on the part of the municipalities, but most of these municipalities are facing financial problems of their own in terms of meeting their, you know, the mandate and service delivery objectives. So the willingness is there, the question remains of that of resources and the model. Why NYD would have accepted this model of saying let's deliver these local offices in partnership with municipalities, because ourselves are facing challenges of our own in terms of the allocation that we have. We are not able to open those offices and fully fund them. That's why we have accepted the partnership approach. But as Mr. Peters indicated, there are those that are functional, where the municipalities have come on board, and I think commitment is that we will be able to provide a list of those locations and whatever else those that we know are fully operational, that at any point young people are going in there and are finding support, they're finding staff there and so forth and so forth. So that will be provided to the community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I will start with honorable Matagana.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Honorable Masaka. Can we just start with Honorable Mufulo, then come back.
Thank you, Chief. So I just wanted to find out, because they are finding these challenges with municipality in terms of implementing their plan, is there any plan in place except the one that they're having of partnership that they are thinking of, because already they can pick up that there are some hiccups in terms of partnership with municipalities. What is there? What do they have? Anything that they think, plan B, let me say so. Do they have plan B? Thank you.
Are you done, Ko?
Yes.
It can't be you, Ko. There's no coming back, right? There's no coming
back. I am.
Okay.
No.
Follow the
example. No, I'll take some of the time. No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and the presentation. At least there's lots that has been done. So I think that from the time we met from to now, it shows that a lot has been done, and a lot of the transformation is taking place. I think that we should compliment the board for that, and say to them that they should keep up accelerating on that. I was looking at a delegation, and I was wondering, the last time I followed the steps, there was an issue about that women are in minority. But looking at the delegation in front here, I was wondering what has happened. Something must have happened. I leave that for them to digest. Chair, just a few quick questions. Let me take you back to the chair, executive chair explanation about we have reached a settlement with the CEO, it's gone end of December. But there's no details on that. My understanding was that he was restated to his position. So any settlement that would have reached with us, he would have been a golden handshake. He would have had to include golden handshake. Now, what is that golden handshake that has been agreed to? So that at least we know, in terms of dealing with money, later on in the annual report we'll hear the golden handshake or settlement of this. If you could explain that. That specifically. Second question related to that, I was under the impression that there was someone else that was acting after the jury in that field. Now, I can't remember, but there seems to be a name in my head that stuck, Ayanda. I don't know whether it is the name Ayanda. Macaulay, yes. Energetic lady, it seems to that stuck. Now, when the chairperson explained, he said we have other employees been found guilty of dealt with those issues. Now, there was no specifics. Which are those employees that have been dealt with? Nothing has been said about this acting, but nothing has been said about the very same Ayanda. What happened to Ayanda? Is Ayanda part of the one that has been characterized as an employee that was dismissed or dealt with that? Is part of that? Also different employee that we are referring to? All this issue about suspicion, it seems to be, it worries me a lot on that issue. Because sometimes we're getting into the realm of differences and paging that takes place. And certain other things comes into play, and then we start using different ways to get rid of others. So we should speak straight to you so that we understand what is quite happening about that. Now, the reasons for the CEO, and we're happy that you have reached this settlement. There were reasons that necessitated a particular action. That include probably what you call the forensic audit, or that include probably irregular or misunderstanding mandate. You'd remember when we dealt with, we were promised that report is ready. Particularly that's got to do with the CEO, that had to do with all this irregular, when the deputy minister led the delegation then. And I think it was said, we must not ambush you. We will give this report when time is right. So I think we will still always that kind of information. The quantification of that irregular expenditure in terms of misunderstanding the mandate, it's not known by this committee. It is not known in terms of the materiality of it, in terms of money. It's not necessarily known by us. So I think it would be useful that you take us into confidence, because we would probably need to know. And away from that, because I'll wait for the explanations about what's happening. The loan book issue. when we went where we did the oversight, we spoke about this, there were some earlier indications from yourself about what you may call their debts, that some of them are not collectible and so on. And the quantification of figures standing up there just off the cuff, some of the figures were frightening, to say the least, in terms that may not be in the realm of being collected. So I think we would need somehow a proper quantification of that so we can see it. I see the slides that you presented, but there are others that are not in there, that are outside there, that you may still call them safe, safe loads, if you like. Now, somehow you need to at least, let's look at the quantification of it, because that there will be a budget, your budget sitting somewhere, that maybe you may need to utilize as part of the income when you look at your budget, because that's part of the money, your money lying in someone's bank account, that must come into a better account. So that, I think, we need to get into that. Then, Chair, there's this issue about the number of programs that you list in here. Some of them good in terms of going to meet the target, some of them not. Now, I just wanted to find out, are you giving assurance in terms of what you are presenting that you are going to meet the target as you set yourself out, all the targets? Some of them you can, some not. Look at it. And meeting the targets, not meeting the targets, got monetary terms into it, attached to it. Later, at the end of this month, the treasurer will come with a hand for you. The last time you complained about that money was too little, and the end of February or mid-February, the treasurer will draw around the money that has not been spent or likely to be spent. And it goes back into the exchange or the big kitty. That is coming. This issue about partnership, it's a good thing. The partnership, lobbying, getting public sector, getting private sector into making forward in terms of directors, getting young people into it. But what's actual? What are we getting as a result in terms of that partnership with the private sector in terms of employment of directors, in terms of young people? Are we breaking that mode? Are we breaking? And if we are, what is then the action of that particular intervention? I will leave the address for my honorable Leonard here next to me. He was already complaining. No, he was already complaining about I take this time.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm not complaining. I think my colleague on my left was quite direct in the questions that he asked. Those are very good questions, Chair. In fact, I was wondering whether in terms of the employees that have now left us at NIDA, whether we shouldn't have a written report on that so that it's more confidential rather than discussing it here in the open, you know, that we can have a written report through the Secretary so that we have all those people that were suspended and that we know what happened to each of them and what it cost for each of those. So maybe from that point of view, it's, you know, we get more confidential information. In any case, Chair, I'm the
sorry, you're persuading me.
I'm supporting you.
You're persuading me. But you're adding confidentiality.
Yes, yeah.
No, dismissal is not confidential. So confidentiality is dismissal of work. I have committed a crime something, and that they get punishment, and one punishment is.
No. Yeah, Chair, I didn't interfere with when he was talking with any case. The Chair of NIDA referred to the rewrite and how successful that was. Can you tell me how many people you actually assisted to do the rewrite and how many of those people actually passed when they actually wrote the examination so that we can just get it finished? Because I see on the side here that the second chance matric rewrite cost us 5.236 million at the end of the third quarter, which is funny to me. If you look at that slide, it says it's 100% over expenditure. I don't know how that works because your total budget for the year is 7 million. So I just don't understand that. If you could just explain that to me. That's on the third quarter management accounts, 2013 and 14. Then, Chair, I was very happy when NIDA switched from loan funding to grant funding. Because we're going to write off the grant funding as well. And we can just as well write off the loan funding, because when the 90% outstanding, we're going to lose everything. And to follow up and try and get that money is earn good money after bad. I learned in business, no deal is better than a bad deal. And we are busy with a bad deal on the loan funding. We have changed the system, get the limit, write it off, and say, I'm finished with loan funding, because you're going to chase them and you're not going to get anything out of it. So, just consider that as a possibility and just writing it off. Because, now that we're on the grant funding, we're going to have exactly the same position, except that we're not going to have bad debts. We're going to sit in a situation where we say, here's your money, start your business. If he's not successful, he or she's not successful, it's not anything we can do about it, we lost the money. But it's taxpayers' money, so we've got to look at it. And that's why I just want to ask, is there any check on when, if we do the grants, do we do any checks on whether those, businesses are performing and whether they are still going or not? Because, I can apply for grant funding, get it, and sit back and say thank you very much for NIDA for being so kind. I don't know, maybe the school has lately got some grant funding. This is by the way. Thank you very much, Chairman. I would want to be shorter than my colleagues.
Now, I think they will respond on our side, but around the issue of the loan, I thought that what they were saying was that there are people who can't pay. In fact, we have discussed this matter over and over. That among those loans that are outstanding, the reason why it's pursued, you correct me if I get to share, the reason why it's pursued is because there are people who are able to pay but who does not pay. But there are those, Honorable Fana was saying, there are collectible ones, there are those that can be what you call a return off. And in the proposal that you were making, Honorable,
if you look at the bottom line,
yeah,
you will see that virtually 90% of the money is at risk. Look at the bottom line, it says percentage risk is virtually 90%, it's 89%. And I'm telling you, if it's at risk, rather write it off, because to go to attend it and try and get it, you're not going to get it, and you're going to pay the attorneys more than what you're getting. So, you get rid of it, and it is, like 10% that you can, I agree with you, where people can pay, don't fetch it, and don't get it, but for the rest.
Now, I think that, Honorable Swart, maybe what you do, I think there was a proposal at the end when I was listening to this issue of the law book. Perhaps, now that you have fled it, I'm sure, it will come clearer as to what is it that was being said, so that we can pay what you call attention. But I think maybe Chairperson, as the Deputy Chairperson, Honorable Swart is raising an issue about the grant funding. So maybe it's important just for the NYPA to tell us that do you just walk in there and get a grant funding or what was? So that there's clarity on our side, who gets the grant funding? Are you just throwing the money away for everyone who walks in? I think that it will be important to clarify that. But, Committee Mashuka?
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks for the presentation. We are happy of the improvements. I echo what Honorable Ramakakani said. What Honorable Ramakakani said that clearly there's great improvements since we started working with the NYDA. But that doesn't mean they should just now sit and relax. Because on my KPA 271, one of the KPIs talk about implementing skills training. That's slide number 8. That target to me is very, very, very high. And I don't know how it's for me, because you explained that the constraints have something to do with contact. So what is
the main, what were the intentions of this number of young people supported through the job preparedness program? I wish I could understand it, because what attracted me was this very high number, when that is now accumulatively from the reach 45,000, and this 80,000 from COPTA. I wish I could understand what is happening there, because you said the constraints and hear about COPTA. So then at least we understand the relationship of you and other departments, and when it comes to training, because this is very, very important. And the fifth KPA speaks about staff training. Where is the staff and how many are they? Is it in your office? Is it somewhere out of the offices for clarity? Because the number you put there, is it training and retraining, or is it headcounts, so that I understand, it will help understand how the training goes. You train one person three times, or is there, are those headcounts? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Witt. Any other questions, comments? Governor Fuller? You're fine.
I
know that you had donated the time to Honorable Matagana.
I just wanted to find out from, to say, now when I'm looking at this, the site that Honorable Mashiko is talking about, to find out, except COPTA, which other, because each and every department has got its own features. How is the relationship there? Because either municipalities, the local government sector, in all these departments, they've got different sectors. I'm looking at a target of 100,000 young people for 2013-2014. Will they be able to reach it if they only work with COPTA? And I was just suggesting that if they are saying they want to reach these people, then they must also work with other departments. To make sure that, because when you talk about youth, because we talk across the board, then those teachers in those other departments, they can work together with them and they will be able to reach their target. But if they're only focusing on one department, no. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Fuller. Or Madam, you want to come back? Okay. Now, I think that we will all agree with the comments that were made by Honorable Ramatakana and Honorable Mashiko about the progress of the work that NYDA is doing. However, Executive Chair, I think that I'll repeat the scratch record until it no more pays, you know. I think your communication, there's a challenge with your communication and profiling your work. How does Sam recap in Kansas, that builds one house and it becomes such a big thing. And then the whole, what you call the youth, you have the youth in the Northern Cape that is in the project, is building a number of houses. We don't hear about it. You're doing the work, a lot of work that you're doing. But my challenge is your communication, what you call. Inside, I think there's a lot to be desired there, because it's like you know, the past people have accused of not seeing NYPA, of not having NOTA in their areas. But when you're also talking about the evaluation report, you know, I don't know if you can just clarify me what do you mean by evaluation report. Unfortunately, this committee is part of its responsibility to deal with evaluation. It is evaluation in that sense that we understand in that sense, but I think that there are too many if you think that you can evaluate from 80 or to commit 80 evaluations in 1 year. And I don't know. So that's why I just need to understand what you mean by that. But also, I think to comment is about on governance, alignment of processes, you know. I think that maybe it's an ongoing thing, but it's good that it is happening. We do understand that when you move from 10 KDAs to 5, obviously that would be necessary, but it's good that you have taken trouble to ensure that it is happening. I wasn't aware that there are two loan books. There is an internal and external one. I was not aware. I would really like to understand. I heard that the other one is doing it with FNB. And how is the other one, the difference between the two. But also what I noticed in the report, you know, that's another point now, which I think that it, maybe you didn't make mention of it. I think it's a very positive thing. The relationship that you're having with different embassies, with those embassies making a contribution. That's why the executive chair, I'm lamenting your communication. There is the fourth estate, I think you must engage somehow with it. But the communication department is needs what you call it to be checked up. I mean, it's important for those embassies. That I'm sure they would like South Africa to know that they are making the contribution that they are making in the country. But nobody knows about it. If the British government says, we have done this, this is what we have contributed, how do I know about it? So that's why I really have on the question of your communication, you know. I think there is on the irregular reports, as highlighted by the AG, I think we must give what we call, we must comment that in 2011-2012, where there was 103 million. You reduce that, now you are at 4 million. I think there is room for improvement, but I think we must, what you call, say that we, at least there is progress. There is notable progress. That's my last comment is on the provincial offices. I mean, on the local municipality offices. Maybe what we need to do, I think we did comment on this last time. Maybe we did not implement it ourselves, where we indicated that we would just like to have an engagement between yourself and the executive you know, on what can be done. But now, the time is no longer on our side. We just by the door now. So, a lot of things that would love to continue to have. But maybe the next committee is one of the issues that perhaps on our legal report we need to ensure that we deal with, so that hard work is continued. We think that it's an important work, but it's going to be difficult just to say to municipalities or the program of Tarana, to say to them, please accommodate NYDA when we have not the legislation is still ending. I think it will be important that that legislation, the amendment of the NYDA Act, is the fast track, so that it can be able to deal as well with certain things. Because I guess the municipalities would want to act within the would want to act within a framework of the law. They might be interested, but if there's nothing that guides them, but it might be difficult. Over to you, Dr. Fitcher.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks. I think first, just to say thanks to honourable members for the very welcoming remarks about our progress. And I think, as you indicated, it really has assisted that the committee has worked hand in hand with us through constructive criticism about what needs to be changed and how best to do that. So we want to welcome that as well. Chair, I will just touch on some of the governance-related issues. And then hand over to the acting CEO to deal with some of the administrative issues together with his team that are here. Chair, on the matter of the former CEO, Mr. Mubin, Chair, we, and I think really one must commend all parties involved in reaching an amicable settlement, which was really in the best interest of NYDA. Young people have been saying to us that we wanted NYDA that works. How you go about doing that, you will decide. And I think even to go as far as commending Mr. Ngubeni for agreeing to really put the matter at rest so that the agency can continue and focus on its primary mandate. So in saying that, the settlement that was reached is a legally binding one, and we have not disclosed the contents of that to the executive authority. The executive authority indicated to us that it is your primary responsibility to do such and enter into such. We also have that understanding, therefore, Chair, that we report to this committee through the executive authority. But, however, should the executive instruct us that they would like to see the contents of that, we could make it certainly available to the executive, of which, Chair, I think yourself perhaps would then have to interact with the executive on contents and the details of that settlement. But being a legally binding document, Chair, I think we would not be in a position as this committee to speak into the details of that, especially since we've not briefed the executive, who have not asked us to do so. So on that matter, Chair, I'll leave it at that. The other is public information, Chair, on what the amount is, or the financial amount, which was reported in the annual financial statement, which led to the investigation, which was an amount of 35 million rand of maladministration. So that's public information, Chair. That's always been there. It was picked up in the Auditor General. It was the basis for the maladministration charges that were laid. So on that matter, we would really refer to the annual statement, Chair. We believe, Chair, that we did all we could. Chair, you would remember that we even went to court on the matter. We lost the matter in court, and of course we then abided by the rule of law. But we then said we must take a decision in the best interest of NYGA. And I think one should be committed for really doing that, in ensuring that we move on and we move forward with our work. Chair, on the other matter pertaining to Ms. Makaula, Chair, you would know, Chair, that the Board of Directors of the NYDA is appointed by Parliament. Honourable Members of Parliament, and we would assume, Chair, therefore, that Honourable Members of Parliament would know who they appoint. Ms. Makaula is a member of the Board, Chair. She's not an MP of the NYDA. She was appointed by Parliament as a non-executive director of the NYDA board. Chair is also then know that when the matters emerged around the CO, we had said and reported that it would be best for the board to identify one of its own, given the sensitivities of the matters, to guide administration of the agency, and that person would be Ms. Makaula. But as she is a board member, there was no expectation that she would act indefinitely, nor was there an expectation that she would be permanent CEO, because at some point in time the matter would be closed and she would then return to the board to return the status quo. So that understanding, Chair, has always been there. In fact, we had tried to persuade her to stay on because the plan was to go to the financial year and then to determine the process of appointing a permanent CEO, which I think is where we are right now, which is a more important one. However, initially Ms. Makaula, when she took on the task and she excelled, and we really commended her for it, indicated that family pressures and personal commitments must be considered. And so when the decision was made that she must return earlier to the board, she then said, well, a personal interest and family pressures are now calling. And she had then indicated to us at the last board meeting that she wants to return back to the board. And of course, the obvious action would be necessarily to resign as the acting CEO. So, Chair, I think, you know, that, as I said, with that understanding, really, there is no, one can safely say, that there cannot be a cause for concern regarding Mrs. Makaula. In fact, if we had known that there was, we would have asked her to come to this meeting because she's a member of the board, Chair. And as a result of that, she continues to guide us. In fact, there is more positive because we are relying on her guidance and advice in the administration to guide the work of the NYD, working together with Mr. Ramakumba. So, Chair, basically, to summarize, I think it would not be, be far from the truth to insinuate otherwise any other reasons for Ms. Makaula, resigning as agency, only to say that she's continues her task in the NYDA. There was no such removal, suspension, anything like that. If one was aggrieved, one would not have comfortably returned to the board as she had done. But really, I think on the positive side, really commended her for the distinction which she led during the interim period. And we're going to rely on her leadership and guidance throughout the NYGA's term of office, Chair. Chair, on just the other two matters before I give over to the acting CEO, to say that only we do give assurance that we'll make the 23 out of 28, which is our target in terms of our guidelines, and we're well on track to do so. But the details are left to the acting CEO. The matric rewrite program, we had 3,168 honorable work, and 87% pass rate. This program improved from a 47% pass rate in the first year to a 73% and now to 87%. Its success has warranted discussion with the Department of Economic Development, who want us to scale this program up as part of youth interventions broadly, so that the target should be from ASI, and they really want to assist us in this regard, that if we've got 150,000 matriculants on average who are failing, we need to look at not just 3,158. We should be looking much more matriculants who fail the first time being given this opportunity. So they have, in the last few months, approached us and said, how do we assist you, either through the court or government, to take this program to another level so it helps more young people and gives more young people opportunities. Chair, the last thing I want to say, Chair, I think on the communication side, there is no good news to ourselves, Chair. I think that to be fair on the media, they have really, some institutions have given us quite good coverage, especially for the beneficiaries. Young people who got scholarships from the Solomon Mashango Scholarship Fund were exposed to the likes of EMCA, etc. FABC has been covering our second chance matriculants, some of whom got 92% for mathematics, 91% for physical science, after being given an opportunity by the NYGA to rewrite. I think over time, as we concentrate on our work and become, in fact, we are more visible than ever before, Chair. But I think if we really focus on the work, there will be no other reason not to cover us, Chair. And then I think communications will improve slightly but surely in the future. I think our priorities are in order, and we, on the communication side, we do all we can it's still at optimal levels. But really, we can't force the coverage there's no change to give us there. But we will improve, Chair. Not to say there's no room for improvement. There's always room for improvement. We'll look at improving as time goes on. Let me then hand over, Chair. I think on the matters of, I also agree that some of our targets will need to be reviewed from the honourable member that the job preparedness were too ambitious. 100,000 young people on the job preparedness were not going to meet that target. We didn't have the capacity to do it. It's now at 45,000 according to the presentation. Targets like that, we're really going to have to review them to make them more realistic. That we cannot deny, Chair. I think so. You'll then address the rest.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will try to deal with the issues in the order in which they were raised. Maybe starting with the issue raised by Honorable Mofolo, I'll do the first round and the second round one. The alternative to partnership with municipalities, there is an alternative that we have considered from last year, which we continue to consider. This alternative was to upgrade on our mobile outreach vehicles, which enables us, these are vehicles that are suitably equipped with all the relevant technology that is required to move to a particular rural area or the township or whatever the case might be, and young people can be able to access NYDA products and services as they would access them had they been exposed to a full service branch of the NYDA. One of the challenges that we continue to face is the lack of growth in terms of the revenue allocation or the grant allocation of the National Youth Development Agency. So it becomes difficult to be able to expand and accommodate this this requirement. But we continue to look at it as an alternative to physical structure that we may enter into with the municipalities, given the challenges that we're experiencing in that space. Because as I've indicated earlier on, we ourselves accept the situation that the municipalities find themselves in. I mean, most of them are poor municipalities that, whilst they're willing to assist, they're just unable to do it, whether or not the will is there. So that is an alternative that we continue to consider and see how we can accommodate that within our limited resources. And then the second issue that was raised in relation to the reference to COFDA in relation to the 100,000 learnership job preparedness target. Let me just give a context as to why the 100,000. The 100,000 was indeed quite an ambitious target, even at the time of planning when we engaged in this particular target. The year before that, this target was quite low. It was based on our ability to deliver it within our 14 full service branches. However, when we were planning at the time, there was an intention to then make sure that all these local youth offices are operational. If we're talking about 100 and something local youth offices being operational, we had thought that if we are able to make these local youth offices operational, these local youth offices can assist us to deliver on some of these targets. So it will no longer be only the 14 full service tracks that are delivering on this program. But obviously the reality then became clear when you know certain municipalities were unable to operationalize these offices, and this is the challenges that we have. So in order to try and still meet this target, it's not necessarily say, okay, the municipality arrangement did not work out, therefore we're going to sit back and let it go. We then explored our alternatives. One of those was engagement with COBDA, who they are having their own program of young people that they are trying to empower to do some community works in various municipalities across the country. So we then said, they engage COBDA and say that these young people, before you place them in these various responsibilities that we want to put them in local municipalities, let us provide them with a job preparedness program. So the only indication that we're making here is that those engagements have not necessarily moved as fast as we would have wanted, but we'll continue to pursue them. COPTA is saying we're going to be placing about 30,000 young people in various local municipalities across the country. So if we were able to provide those young people with a job preparedness program before they actually start that work, it will assist us to meet the targets, but also we will be changing and improving these young people that in a meaningful way. So that is the one thing. I think maybe I would want to to then move over quickly because the issue is similar. I come to the issue that was raised by Honorable Mashego in relation to it was the issue that was raised by as a follow up by also Honorable Mufolo in relation to what other departments or sectors were engaging. One of the things that we are doing emanating from the Youth Accord engagements, which are led by the Economic Development, is that the commitment from the Public Service Administration Minister is one that says that government in its entirety will also participate in creation of jobs in this compact, a social partnership compact, and things like that. So government, various government departments will provide opportunities where learnership can be provided for young people, and this would be coordinated by DPSA. We are then intending to then engage the DPSA to then say there are certain things that we can do in that regard. We can, for example, provide the job preparedness program for these young people prior to them being placed, but equally we can also assist in the identification and recruitment of these young people. If DPSA says an accounting package is required by the Department of Justice, we can make sure that we find these young people are correctly qualified, prepare them, and then, you know, send them over for that placement process. So these are some of the engagements that we're having. But of course, we continue to engage and work with the various sectors. I mean, on the Mashego Right program, each DPSA has come on board. In the past, we have done or implemented the program on about 3,000 young people in the DTPC, because they feel that this program is working, is producing results. They have offered to increase the numbers by an additional 1,500. So we continue to engage Mercita. We've been working with them for a number of years now. So we continue to engage the various sectors and governments at large. Also, the private sector will continue to engage in that regard. Then maybe moving over to the issues raised by Honorable Ramatlaka, and I think issues of what matters the chair is dealt with. In relation to their own book, that which is at risk, I think Honorable Swart got it correctly. Indeed, 90% is doubtful in terms of, you know, our accounting estimates on our ability to be able to collect. I'll speak to that in detail in relation to the proposal made by Honorable Swart when I get to the issues that he has actually raised. I think the chair already indicated that on the issue of the target being met, that we remain committed to achieving the target. But just also maybe to take the committee into confidence that some of the measures that we have taken is that all those KPIs that seems to be lagging behind a bit, we have subjected them to a special program where the executive managers responsible for delivering those KPIs are now required to report on a weekly basis as status updates, so that we're able to monitor and identify challenges that require troubleshooting, and then we can implement the relevant measures that should enable us to achieve those KPIs by the end of the year. So we remain confident that on course we should be able to achieve them. Those targets. I think before the partnership with the private sector, I've spoken to it. We continue to engage the captains of the private sector, even though, you know, they I think that the level of confidence of the public, the private sector in the main, remains a bit low. And I think, you know, for various reasons, how maybe, you know, who have been reported out in the media, things like that. An issue that we continue to address, our commitments to clean governance and good governance. We believe that as and when we make progress and we make strides in achieving good governance, the private sector confidence in us as an institution will continue to increase, and we'll do more business or more partnerships with the private sector. So we remain on course in terms of engagement in that particular session. Then on the issue that we raised by Honorable Swart, the first one is the board issue that I think the chair has spoken to. And on the metric rights, indeed that was an error on the formula, or in terms of what appears on the presentation. On the right of the zone book, I think the concerns that the honourable member is raising are concerns that we ourselves have, in that should we be investing more in pursuing the collection of this zone book, or should we be considering alternatives? This is where the option of then saying maybe we must consider disposing of this loan book comes in. Obviously, we will not necessarily write off the entire loan book, because our assessment of the loan book is that there are people who are capable and able to pay
but are choosing not to pay.
Those are the people that once we have cleared up the loan book, we can then say, let's serve this loan book of those that we know they have the means, but they're giving us promise to pay, so that those who can buy the loan book can continue to pursue in that, so that we at least get something out of this book. If we can salvage something, let's get it. So that is the approach and the attitude that we're taking towards the loan book in relation to his lack of performance. Maybe just to focus a bit on the issue of the grant funding. The grant funding is not an easy way out for the NYDA to then say, because loans are difficult to manage because you must chase and whatever else, therefore let's do the easy thing. The loan book, the grant funding is informed by a couple of things. One of the things that we considered under the leadership of the board was question of saying, we need to locate ourselves as the NYDA within the value chain of government. We need to look at that which government, other government institutions are doing and not duplicate efforts and duplicate resources towards it. Government has a number of DFIs that are already providing loan financing to people out there, including young people. We then said, what is missing here? We then identified that the entrepreneurial activity of South Africa is quite low. South Africans, yes, South Africans do not grow up to be entrepreneurs and business people. They grow up to go to school and get a job. But they need to grow the economy. We then said, let them focus on creating entrepreneurial out of these young people. Hence, the approach is survival. Let's give you a chance to try, and then let's incubate you. And when we provide grant funding, when a young person arrives, one of the first things that is done is to do a technical assessment of the person, the attitude. Can they really make it as an entrepreneur? Are they ready and able to go into entrepreneurship right away? If not, we subject them to, in fact, it's a compulsory requirement that they must be subjected to at least an entrepreneurship training and development program. Unless they've done it elsewhere, they can produce proof that maybe I've done it with CEDA or wherever else that I may have done it. Once they pass that stage and we are convinced that even the business plan or the business case that they're putting forward is commercially viable, then we will support them with funding. And to try and minimize the risk of, you know, throwing out money, people grabbing it and running away, we have said that we will fund the operations or the requirements as opposed to handing over cash. We will get cash for things like working capital and, you know, those type of things. But if a young person requires assets and other things, we will buy the assets for them. They will give us code and we will pay service providers. Service provider will provide them with assets. One of the things that we have also done is to create a situation where there is a mentorship program associated with the grant funding, so that these young people are actually subjected to some 24-month head-holding assistance by mentors, people who have done it in business, or at least who have some business acumen and can assist these young people to try and increase the opportunities of these young people succeeding as entrepreneurs in that regard. There's also things like market linkages where opportunities are there and NYDA can negotiate on behalf of these young people. That's what we're doing. So the program itself will try to ring fence it and will try to support it with pillars that increases the chances of making it successful and, you know, producing a better result. So that is the nature and the context of the grant funding. Then I think the staff training, the issue that was raised by Honorable Mashego, the issue of the number of 100,000, I think I've spoken to it, the intention of the local office, and when that is materialized, we start looking at alternatives. But the staff training issue speaks to our internal staff. This is continuous training and development to ensure that our staff members are kept up to date with their relevant professions. They keep up to date with the, you know, best practices so that we continue to provide a quality service to young people. And then the last comments from the chair, I think the communication issue, the chair dealt with it. In terms of the evaluation reports, chair, the evaluation reports are in the form of a evaluation, as you understand it, maybe from the DPME, the Performance Monitoring and Evaluation Ministry. The reason why here we have targeted about 80, when we designed this API, one of the things that we wanted to achieve was to then say, we've been providing loans, either as the Mthombo Youth Fund or as the NYDA. This loan book has not been necessarily performing. In order to carry on and to get lessons on how to do it better, with improved results, we need to commission some sort of a study. So the numbers speaks to the number of beneficiaries that we wanted to subject to the process and to evaluate. The reason why the number was bigger as well is because we wanted to try and make the population to be as representative as possible. You know, people who may have benefited from rural areas, what were the challenges that they experienced that led them to face, those who are in the urban space, what were the challenges, those that had collateral or additional support, you know, the various factors. So we wanted to have a pool that would give us, you know, better outcomes. And we think that as much as the NYDA may not be continuing to with loan financing, that report, those report outcomes can be useful for other DFIs in the government sector and can also be useful for us. Certain lessons will still be relevant in the grant funding program that we are implementing. So we think that in that context, that's why the number was like that, and that is the nature of the evaluation as you understand it. The governance and the alignment processes, as we indicated, we continue to be committed to that, and we will treat it as an ongoing process until we get to that point where we are able to deliver our products and services more efficiently and more effectively, but also, you know, guided by the relevant legislation and complying to those, as well as, you know, the code of good corporate governance in that regard. I think on the issue of the work with embassies, I think you are correct. We need to expose that more, and we hope that also the media will take interest on some of the good stories coming out of the NYDA. On the issue of the internal versus the external loan books, all the external loan books are in a form of joint ventures that all of them, in fact, were inherited from the former Umzumbu Youth Fund. And we have one with FNB that indicated this is now on a disinvestment stage. It had a lifespan of 5 years, that 5 years has now lapsed. We were in the process of engaging on a possible renewal of that partnership when we decided to discontinue loan provision and go the direction of crowdfunding. But those are some of the loans that have performed better in comparison to our own internal loan book. Then we had one with business partners, which was focusing more on funding young people on franchise business. The one of FNB would have funded any business venture, even though they did have some exclusion like agricultural businesses and things like that, but it would generally fund young people on almost other areas, whereas the one with business partners focused on franchises only, more mainly. And this one is also on a disinvestment stage. It has been now for the past 3 years, I think. We are anticipating that this year or next year we should be exiting this fund. In fact, as we speak, business partners have actually made an offer to NYDA to say that given that we are now in a disinvestment stage and you are now looking for grant funding, we are making an offer to you to buy you out of the agreement, and we'll consider that, and we'll say to the board for final decision in terms of whether we accept that offer or not. Then we have the Mathmat Hot Dog Cafe. This is a partnership also in the effort from Muslim Youth Funds with Mathmat Holdings. If honorable members visit stores under Mathmat, your builder's warehouse and the likes, you will find hot dog cafes outside of those stores. Those outdoor cafes are funded by a joint venture between the NYDA and Mass Margin that is dedicated for young people. So that is the other outside venture that we are doing with partners. Yeah, so there are those things that we are doing in that regard. And I think, the last issue that you raised related to the involvement of the standing committee together with the executive in terms of maybe, materializing some of the engagements with municipalities with a view of opening this local office or operationalizing these local offices. We think that it is a progressive idea, and whether the committee changes or not after the elections, we think that it will assist us as an institution if that engagement is carried forward with the executive authorities, so that we find assistance in bringing these things to reality, so that the products and services of the NYG can be accessible by all, irrespective of where they are located. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just Matrix is right, the figures that you gave, 100% over expenditure on Matrix is right. Can you just explain that to us?
the metric governance is structured in a way that MOCOs are anchored during the course of the year as opposed to at the time that the aircraft registration happened. So, for an example, this intake that is happening now, you will find that there's minimal cost that will actually be paid to the service provider. But obviously, our financial end will end in March, which then means the program then transcends into 2 years. So the bulk of the payments will happen when actual delivery of lectures is happening, provisioning of study material and other things are going on, which is why you may say that you have already spent so much, but you're only starting now. The current school calendar year is only starting now. So there is that overlap between the financial year and the calendar school calendar year.
No, thank you, Chair. Just back to this issue that I raised, these problems were collected. The settlement, I understand the settlement figures are confidential. This is the explanation we get, that there's some confidentiality, because I struggle to understand it. And you say that the executing authority has also said, deal with it the way you must deal with it, and don't involve me. This is public money. So it can't be a matter that is confidential to say that Parliament, when Parliament asks this question, the answers are denied and using the what we call confidentiality in terms of that. So I just want to make the point, to underline the point that we would need to know that aspect. So maybe we would, if we have to ask the minister that question, we'd have to ask the minister that question, because it can't be that it's a confidential in that way. Secondly, just a way of respond to the acting CEO and the one that has exited and board member. I think that the understanding should always be that we ask questions as they come, and we ask them straight to whoever comes here. We don't insinuate. We ask straight questions. So if there's something that is hidden, that one knows the answer already, you may use that word. And I will leave that by saying, if there is, you know, the truth will always follow you. And it will come out eventually. No, I just detest the language that the questions that we ask must be characterized as insinuations. When you ask straight questions, what happened to this? What happened to that? Now, it may well be the kind of a slip of a tongue. We're not insinuating anything. We're asking questions as it is presented. I take exception because I asked that question. So, and I'm happy that the answer is given, that she remains aboard and she's gone back to the where she and she has asked to be relieved. But those questions were straight. I don't think they should be read as insinuation. Because that attitude is someone who was displayed by Ngobeni when he asked him questions here. It was in this room. When you ask him about the expenditure of the youth day, the PE one, you remember what, you were probably in this room because you were part of the board. He became too big for himself. He felt that he can't take Parliament and Commission on a trip on answering those questions. I'm just trying to send a warning signal that let's be clear and let's read and let's try and find the proper words in reply. So that's what I wanted to say, Chair, because I thought I must raise it right now, that the executive chair understand that, because I think he's the one that used insinuation. in the summarized impressions, which means we insinuate to something that we announce these questions. So that's the point I want to make. But let me leave it there. But I do say that, and of course, on the last question about Honorable Swartz and the book, the loan book, the debt, you see the percentage, but the magnitude of it in figures, in figure terms, is when I was talking about the quantification, so that when you talk about write-off and you walk away from it, it's what we understand to be, because I think that at the end of the day, because the materiality of it, dragging on with the auditing, it would end up being a qualification point. It will make that the OEAG will end up qualifying your audit. The dragging along and the magnitude and materiality of it would lead to a qualification on your audit.
Honorable, you still want to? Okay.
Yeah, just on the question also of loan finance and the grants. The situation is, you know, and you said that there are certain people that can't pay that just don't want to pay. And that may be so, but if I was one of the beneficiaries on the loan funding, and I now know that somebody could come now and get the same amount of money as I did, but as a grant and not as a loan, he doesn't have to pay anything. I will say, so thank you, but I'm not paying. I also change it to a grant for me as well. So, you know, that's something you've got to consider, because shouldn't, you know, all the ex-loans be changed to grants? I don't know whether it's possible or whether it's not possible.
That sounds very positive, very progressive, Honorable Swartz. I think that maybe it's something that the NYDA could look at, especially about the amount. Because if there's a 100,000 grant and somebody borrowed 80,000, 90,000, I think that perhaps people could have that, what you call it, kind of thinking, you know, that, I mean, it could pose a difficult for NYDA, but I always think that the loans that they are talking about are loans serious. So I mean, are loans that are above 100,000. But I don't know, one of the members, if there are other comments or questions. I don't know if there are other questions that honorable members would like to raise, NYTA. But we're moving towards winding up. You can respond to those questions. I'll give you time later to close.
But Chair, thank you. Just a few responses. Chair, I think the response, I think on the fuel matters, was simply to say that there's a legally binding document that was agreement that was signed. It would be best placed, and I think that's the Honourable Ramatlakhan is correct, for that question to be placed to the executive authority. That's all we are saying. We're not saying that the executive authority would be best placed to answer. We're not dismissing it, Chair. So I think that it should be interpreted in that way. Because it's a positive, Chair. It's not a negative thing. But I think it could be construed as a negative thing. And I think that's why we have said, rather the executive answer to it themselves. Chair, the response on Mrs. Makaula was based on the question asked to us. Was she considered as one of those being suspended? That's what Honorable Matukana had said, Chair, at us. And by the insinuation that I was thinking, and why I think I used the word not to defend, but I have to say that it assumes that we have to respond to the question whether she was suspended or not or removed or not. And I think what I was saying is that, you know, the board doesn't have the power to do that, and Mrs. Makaula, who is a board member, firstly. But secondly, the truth will unfold and can unfold and has unfolded because Mrs. Makaula has written to the board, which is a board minute, and communicated to staff that this was her expectation. Based on the fact that she now is returning to the board, it makes sense for her to resign as acting CEO, and so on and so forth. That has been put in writing. And so I think, you know, we were simply saying that to assume any kind of untoward, or knowing that Ms. Makaula is still a member of us, and she could easily speak to what the truth is, which is very different to the case of, I think, the Honorable Ramadikana example of Mr. Mugene, etc., and P event. In this case, Ms. Makaula can certainly speak for herself, and which she had already done, to say these have always been the intentions and so forth, and that is why things have transpired in the way they have done. It's just unfortunate, Chair, if we had known, I think Honorable Mugene raised this, that constantly we are asked questions that don't refer to the report. It's just questions that are out of the blue. But if we had known, we could have brought Mrs. Makaula here, and then Honorable Ramatukai could have raised it with her. And I think then we would have had a better outcome to the whole discussion. I think that's why I think the word insinuation was used. But I would certainly withdraw it if it has offended Honorable Ramatukai anyway. Chair, so let me then hand over, I think, on the issues of the loan books to Mr. Ramakumba.
No, sir, I think just to be straight to the point, the figure that we're talking about that which is doubtful to be credited is somewhere in the zone of about 192 million, right? 192 million. And all the work that we have done so far, that which we are certain we are not able to get anything out of at this point, is about 3.2 million, where we're saying we have traced these people, we have found them, they have nothing. Whether we would pursue them legally or otherwise, there won't be any outcome. So the rest of them, this is suspect, so there's not much to fight from them. Right? So these are the type of those that are saying, this is what we think can be straight out for it to be written off. And then, you know, that which is doubtful, you know, there are many circumstances. A lot of these cases still needs to be investigated properly. I mean, it still needs to be pursued. Some of them you find are not in business, but they may have provided some sureties of other assets that they have, and we think that they can, you know, afford to offload some of the assets and still have primary residence and still afford to carry on their lives. So, you know, we think that that is the part where we say, these are in we can't just simply write it off, right? I mean, if we can even get 50 million out of it, it's fine, it's okay. Whereas maybe the question of, which I think is a moral question, right, of asking the question, is it fair that I am still obligated to a loan that I must pay, whereas somebody today works at NYD and walk away with a grant? I think that's a moral question. But also the legalities that we need to look at. There would have been a legally binding contract between the NYDA and this young people. Are we able to just write it off? Also, you know, PFME, you know, the regulation, are we able to just say, now that simply goes on campus, who can write off? Because it remains a debt, an asset that the PFME expects us to, you know, to recover. So there are those considerations. But I mean, I think what we can say to the committee is that all options will be considered. That's why I said that we are now putting together an overarching debt collection strategy, which will consider various options, and then we'll put these options to the board, and for the board to apply their mind and choose the most suitable options, but we'll provide them with all alternatives that are available at this board. Thanks.
But, no, thank you very much. I think that I hope that Honorable Ramakhlakana, the insinuation is the question of the continuation has been addressed, and I hope that you will accept this explanation that it was not intended to be an arrogant, if you like, a kind of a response. I definitely did not want to call you in that way. I'm sure I would have protected you, because you're asking the question on behalf of all of us. It's not just an individual Honorable Ramatlakana, but also as a member of parliament. But also, I think the executive chair would remember that even that day when you said Members, I think we did indicate that members can respond to, I mean, can ask questions from what is presented, but this doesn't prevent them to ask other questions generally. We can't prevent members to do that, which are related to the work generally of the NYCA. But for now, there's no problem really from what we have discussed. Chair?
No, I think just in concluding remarks, we hope that I think we can safely say that you know, we've really appreciated the past work. As you indicated, that it perhaps it may be the last time that we see each other in the structured committee as it is. We hope it's not. We hope it's not. Because really, I think that you know, going forward, a lot of the remarks, the contributions have assisted us to change the way we do things. Open, frank, honest, robust discussions really contribute to growth of the NYDA. And we have always appreciated that. I want to really appreciate that again to yourself, to the committee, and to say that the NYDA can only get stronger. As I indicated to you, I think it's not only our leadership, but your leadership as well, that has helped the NYDA to be more active than we've ever been before. As I said, we are certainly more visible than we've ever been before. And we seem to be impacting more lives young people than ever before. Yeah. We really do hope, Chair, that you get it wrong in this case, and the committee returns to help us for the next few years, Chair. So we really want to say thanks for that as we conclude our remarks. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the committee the hope of us being there in the next round, in the next administration. But it's obvious that we can't all be, won't all be back. I'm sure we'd definitely love to come back. You will be the judge. That's what the Norman says, that the people will be the judges. Now, thank you very much, Executive Chair and the team. But I would like us to indicate that we might have raised the issue of the delegation in a light way so that we don't make it what we call an issue, the issue of the composition of the delegation. But surely, the government of the day is a government that is committed to the transformation of the of society, ensuring that we have a 50-50. As national, what you call as the ANC government, we committed to ensuring that women are empowered, and therefore they have got to be part of this delegation, not just as what you call I don't want to use the wrong word, but I mean, there are board members like Ms. Makaula and others who could constitute part of the delegation in future. I think that it is empowering to all of us if we participate in meetings. Honorable Mashuru, that gives me a chance to conclude. No, it's important. But also, I think that the issue that has been raised by members, I think we accept the issue around the CEO and the settlement. I think that as a committee, we will accept that maybe the question to be raised with the executive. Now, unfortunately, we are skating on thin ice in terms of whether we'll have the opportunity to do that. So maybe we might find a way of appraising it. But I think that the committee that is doing oversight, it's important to understand the settlements between, I mean the conclusions that are arrived at for people like the CEO in the organization. They are important people. I think the issue that was raised by Honorable Mashiko and Honorable Rumfula around engaging other departments, as it was picked up that with COFSA I have this arrangement. I think Executive Chair, you did mention that the rural development, for instance, has a program of a youth program that maybe you can engage with them on you can engage with them. I'm sure the other departments as well they do have. I think it's a very important program. It's a pity that, but I hope that in future we'll really get the progress on this grant funding, a proper report on the grant funding. You know, what progress has been made, perhaps what are the challenges that you are encountering, and also, well, the loan book is not, I mean, the new loans are with now ITC, but we're hoping that we're getting progress. We would love to also to check whether the success rate perhaps of that and challenges, maybe, I don't know, there might be interventions that are necessary to do. That's the question of the loan book as well as was raised by honorable members. Maybe it will be important for NYDA as but I think that as we're listening as a committee, we think that the line that you're taking is it's fair, because this is public money. I mean, those who can pay must really pay, you know. They must not be lumped together with people who can't afford to pay. That would be understandable, but we seem to be hearing that you have done a lot of work around that, and therefore you know who is able to pay and not able to, I mean, who is unable to pay and those who are able to pay. So I would definitely want to call support that. But it's been a very, what you call, a productive year, Executive Chair, with the new board. We wish NYDA good luck moving forward. Thank you very much. You're welcome to stay with us when we do our next business. Or you're free to, what you call, to leave. But thank you very much.